This message is presented to you by Christian Celebration Center. Our prayer is that you enjoy this recording and that it's a blessing to your life. You can find all of our resources by visiting cccmidland.com.
This week we do launch into Missions Month, and it is an awesome time around CCC. It's something we've been doing for a lot of years, and every year it looks a little bit different. Because what we're doing is we're looking back to this last year of what God has accomplished through us, and that's different every year, and then we're projecting forward to this next year and seeing, okay, God, what do you want to do through us? What dreams would you put in our hearts? And if you've been around here for a while, you know that our mission structure, our missions program is run and spearheaded by Pastor Pat and Christine, who do an amazing job of just getting us engaged. We just love them so much, and as I've stepped into this new role being the lead pastor, I've been able to work with them even more closely and seeing their passion and day after day after day dedication to helping all of us engage in mission and affecting this world. It's just awesome. And so as we step into this missions month, Pastor Pat, what's going to be happening?
Well, I think when you received a bulletin, you should have received a card that says Beyond Borders card in your bulletin. It's the one that's in your bulletin, okay? If you'd pull that out, I'll just walk you through a couple of things. You see, next Sunday, we're going to have Rob Hoskins here, president of Book of Hope, actually called One Hope now. It used to be Book of Hope because it was just print media, but now it's all different forms of media. Their goal is to get the Word of God into every child and young person's hand on the globe. And that might sound lofty, but it's interesting to note this morning, so far to this point, they have done that, put the Word of God in the hands of over a billion children worldwide. They are having tremendous results, and he will be here, the president will be here to talk to us about what's happening in their ministry. It'll be exciting. There's a lunch with him afterwards. We need to hear from you by this Wednesday if you want to go to that. And then we start one of two global prayer meetings a week from tomorrow. That's October the 2nd, and we'll be praying for the effectiveness of One Hope's outreach ongoing. Then on the back of the card, you see our U.S. Emphasis will be in 2 weeks, October 8th. I am equally excited about this. Melissa Oden, who was the speaker at the gala of our own Pregnancy Resource Center here in Midland last year, we heard her amazing testimony. I left that gala and booked her for this year because it's that good. She is a survivor of a saline abortion. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe it was even her grandmother told her mother to do this and to have an abortion. So not only the miracle of her survival, but the miracle of hearing her journey, making restoration with her family members is just amazing. I mean, you'd hear the testimony, it's like, yes, and then she'd go on and it'd be another one, yes, and then it's just one after another. And will also be with us that Sunday. Midland's Pregnancy Resource Center's director, Lori Drake, will be with us. And part of the reason I'm excited about this is the lunch that follows the service that week, she'll be talking about the Pregnancy Center here and exactly what has been happening, give us an update. But during the service, when we take up the offering for Melissa, she comes on a fee basis, not an offering basis. So the offering will cover the expenses of getting her here, but then everything over and above that will go to our local Pregnancy Resource Center. And so, I mean, it's going to be a way to bless locally, bless Melissa. Our lives will be enriched. It'll be awesome. And then that Monday, the Monday the 9th, the Monday after that service, Lori will be here to receive the check. But also, we're going to reveal our new 16, most of you are aware, we have these huge maps that we pray over of all the nations. We just got in this past week our new 16-foot by 16-foot map of Midland and surrounding area. And we're going to be out on this map praying for our community, communities that surround us, and specifically for people that you all are believing God to lead to faith in Christ this year. And it's just going to be an awesome time of prayer together. And then we wrap up with Faith Promise Sundays October 15th with Pastor Keith sharing his message and receiving our faith promises to set our budget for missions for the following year. Put this, somebody told me after first service, says, you said to put the card in the refrigerator. No, no, no. Put it on the refrigerator. Well, you know what? Maybe in the refrigerator is not a bad idea.
We go there a lot.
That was probably the Lord. But put the card somewhere where you'll see it, be reminded of the events this month, but also as a prayer reminder to pray for the events of this month as well. We're excited.
Great, great. I am too. You know, every year we have a different theme for Missions Month. And this year you've probably noticed the banners and then obviously watching the video a few moments ago. Beyond Borders. Pastor Pat, why are you so excited about this theme?
Well, it's, you know, every year, it's probably no secret, we do the theme that the AG rolls out. I'll be honest with you, why we do that theme is because we get these banners and stuff really cheap. We don't have to design it all. And so it's like, why not? And so we use their theme. But then we always seek the Lord and say, Lord, what are you saying to Christian Celebration Center? And as I sought the Lord about Beyond Borders, he gave me this scripture. And it's in Isaiah 54. It says, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Don't hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. And as I thought about that scripture, I thought, you know, here God has given a prophetic word to Israel's future in this scripture. He's challenging them to expand, to move beyond their current borders. And he's giving them basically a heads up that there is coming a day of increase. There is coming a harvest that's on its way, and that they should be diligent in making preparations for it so that opportunities wouldn't be missed or overlooked. And if that has ever been a truth to embrace, it's today in the church. There is a harvest coming. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus said it's plentiful, but the workers are few. He said, open your eyes. Another translation says, lift up your eyes and look at the fields. They're ripe for harvest. And then even Paul in Galatians cites this very passage, verse 1, and relates it to the coming harvest of the New Testament church. So, Pastor, I don't believe there's anybody in this room today that would disagree with the fact that there is an end time harvest that's coming. Amen. And I don't think anybody would disagree with the fact that we're already experiencing the leading edge of that harvest that is on the way. And so God is giving us this Missions Month, I believe, a prophetic call to make preparations in our own lives. Make preparations. It's like he's saying to us, heads up, CCC. There's a harvest that's on its way. Make these preparations so that none are lost. Expand the borders. Increase your capacity. And we're excited about how he wants to do that over the next couple of weeks.
Wow. You know, I think about CCC, I think about missions, I think about the fact that the foot is already on the accelerator, so to say, and we're moving forward, and to then begin to dream God dreams of let's go even faster, let's do even more, let's make even a greater difference. Those of you that had a bulletin, you probably noticed when you open it up, by God's grace in the last year, we have. I mean, God has empowered us to do so much in this last year. It's mind-boggling, really, to think that we are supporting 179 missionaries and missions units and missions organizations every single month through our faith promises. 179 prayed over 1,000 hours at these different global prayer initiatives. Notice the next one. By God's grace, we've given $630,000 to missions in this last year. That's a big deal. Praise God. And then we've sent people on missions trips all over the place this year, and they come back with the stories of how God's used them and how God used them to encourage missionaries and be a part of the Great Commission. So, Pastor Pat, as you hear all of that, what do you think are some of the key contributors to us being basically a Beyond Borders missions church?
Well, one for sure is that you all believe in the Great Commission. You know, it's hard to have a missions program in any church where people don't care about the Great Commission. But you not only care about it, but you want to participate in the Great Commission at home and abroad. And that contributes in a huge way. That really is the foundation. It should be in the DNA of every follower of Christ, missions, right?
That's
because that's
mm-hmm.
the heart of God. That's the heart of his word. And so here it is. But I think a couple of things in addition to that. Missions is part of the DNA of our fellowship. I mean, most of you are aware we're Assemblies of God Church. And the Assemblies of God, 103 years ago, organized itself around one singular focus, and that is, and I'll quote the document, it says, "For the greatest evangelism the world has ever seen." That's why the Assemblies of God was born. 300 people in Hot Springs, Arkansas got together and said, let's form a fellowship that will do a work of evangelism, the greatest work of evangelism in the world, get people saved, plant churches, etc. And that was the jettison, that was the genesis, if you will, of our movement. And so I think we're a strong missions church because we're an Assemblies of God church, and that has been part, not that others aren't, but that has been a part of our DNA from the beginning. And then thirdly, I think the DNA of missions is part of our local church. It's part of us, CCC. I mean, 31 years of Pastor Joel and Donna sowing missions into the heart and the DNA of our church. And now our new pastor, you know, Keith and Lacey, these two have served on the mission field and come with an equal passion for missions. And so it's part of who we are. You can't attend CCC and be a part of CCC without getting that folded into who we are as in terms of believers here. And then there's one other thing. And it's exceptional stewardship. I think one of the reasons that you all, that our church, give to missions and care about missions is because you are convinced that your missions dollars are being properly stewarded. And you know, this day and age, you never know, right? You give to a Haiti crisis, or you give to this or give to that and some other organizations. You never know how much of that gift is actually going to the need. You know what I'm saying? But here at CCC, 100%, in fact, I could even say about 110% when you count the general fund contribution, but about 100%, every dollar, every penny of every dollar that you give in your faith promise goes out the door. And we guarantee that. We've said that for years, and that is still the case. And so the other thing with stewardship is there's 20-plus leaders that are watching over the missions funds very carefully and making sure that they're invested well and that they're invested correctly and for the most, if you can say, bang for the buck, right, for the missions dollar. How can this be invested the best? In addition to those 20 leaders, we call them the Missions Council, there's over 100 of you, 100 of congregation people who have said, I want to be on missions teams. And so they are ministering to and reading newsletters of all 170 missionaries. And on the grassroots level, they are looking for ways that missions dollars can be invested. So they see a Bible distribution here, they see a crusade there, they see a church building going up here in a closed country, they see somebody over here doing something, and they say, that's a great place for missions dollars to go. So there's like 100+ tentacles out there in the nations looking for great investments for our missions dollars. And I think that's one big reason why missions is big here, mm-hmm. is because they own it.
Wow. Wow, that's powerful. Mm-hmm. It is big here. And what I've noticed is that other people are noticing what's happening here, that the mission structure, missions program here, the missions impact is uncommon, truly uncommon. You've had multiple districts of the Assemblies of God in multiple states invite you to come and to talk about what's happening here so they can implement some things in their own churches and districts. And I think it's about every month that we have people calling and coming and visiting to check out a GPI, check out a missions weekend, so that they can take back the ideas and the vision into their churches because they want to do more for missions as well. I'm thinking even of Don and Terry Triplett, who are missionaries to El Salvador. We've worked with them, and we've sent teams to them. They do a phenomenal job in that country. They've been doing this for about 30 years, and the last time they were here, they said, we have never seen anything like this in all their years of ministry and all their travels throughout the United States. Never seen anything like it. So what sets CCC's missions program apart?
Well, I think there are a couple of things. And the first really has very little to do with the missions program. And that is really the synergy of everything that happens here. You know, right from when a missionary guest comes in, the worship that's just off the charts, the friendliness of all of the people here and the organization of, you know, our usher staff and everything that works together. I mean, down to when you give a Royal Christian Celebration Center welcome missionaries, you may not know. I mean, because these people, most of them don't know that's coming. And so they don't know how to deal with that because that doesn't happen ever, right? And they almost without exception will tell me afterwards, it's like, that was just amazing. And I've heard this. They say the culture of honor at CCC is amazing. And how they feel so honored when you stand up and cheer and applaud and just honor their commitment to the Lord and what they do. But it's all of these things, Pastor, working together that makes it a great missions program. I mean, you could try to have a great missions program and if the worship stinks and everybody's grumpy, you know, like, what good is your missions program going to do? Right? I mean, it's important when we talk to churches and districts, it's important. That's what I'll tell them every time coming right out the gate. I'll say, you want a strong missions program, have a healthy church. And that becomes the basis to build a strong missions program. And then I think in addition to that, two other things that are so important. This one is called relationship. And it's so unique for our church. I talk to people all the time. Nobody's doing this. And it's sad on one hand. I mean, I'm excited on one hand because we are, but it's sad that it doesn't seem that many others are. And that is establishing relationships directly with people in the congregation, with the missionaries themselves. I mean, I remember 13 years ago, roughly, when we were hired, one of the things was missions, and Pastor Joel told us, he says, now you take care of missionaries. You return their phone calls. You let them, make them feel like they're honorable, and they are. And so I said, yes, sir. And so I decided I would read everybody's newsletter. I mean, you know, 100 plus missionaries' newsletters that come in, there's another 100 people that are, you know, we don't support yet. That are, because we're a strong missions church, they send us, you know, pick me, kind of a thing. And so I'm trying to read all these newsletters, and it took me about 3 days to figure out, this is impossible. I can't build a relationship with 170 missionaries. It's not going to happen. But somebody's got to. So we talked about it as a leadership council, and we decided that the leadership team would each become regional directors, and then that we went out and recruited about 100 people to come and serve on these teams. So you've got the Africa team, Europe team, etc. And then we took our missionaries and divided them by region and gave the Africa missionaries to the Africa team. And so each team member, these are people in our congregation, a lot of them are sitting here this morning, each team member would have their missionaries. They would read their newsletters. They would pray for them in real time. They would rejoice over the victories that are happening and struggle over the difficulties. And they would discover this. And if you've been to a GPI, you've heard probably a missionary say this. You people like see us as real people, not just a certificate on the wall. Because what happens is relationship gets built between our team members and the missionaries themselves. New moms bless new missionary moms and go through the same exact struggles. And, you know, guys can connect with a missionary's vision and his strategy oftentimes and can see them in that light. Ladies can encourage other ladies and guys. And it's amazing to see this relationship begin to blossom. And so there's prayer going up, and then there's also finances. And a lot of people don't know this, all right? But we have a part of our budget that we carve out for each regional team, and we make it available to that team. So if you're supporting, let's say you have two or three missionaries that are your missionaries, you read their newsletter, build a relationship, and all of a sudden you find out that they want to build a church, or they're going to distribute Bibles, or they have this need, or they're, you know, their dad dies unexpectedly and they have to fly back and they don't have it in their budget. Whatever it is that you discover in your relationship building, there's a pool of funds that are available to you. It's not me that makes these decisions. You get to make the decisions and say to them and email them and say, hey, CCC wants to send you $400 to fly back for your dad's funeral. And you hear the missionary like, whoa, this is comes in a perfect, thank you. And the relationship is deepened. In fact, I was talking to one of my daughters, I'll let you figure out which one it was, about this and how we have cash available to equip our people to bless missionaries, to encourage them, send them anniversary cards, whatever. And she looked at me like she had never heard it before. Now, she grew up in my house. And you can't grow up in my house and not hear this before, okay? She looked at me like she never. She said, "Dad, she said, you mean if I join a team and have my missionaries, you're actually going to give me money, you know, to give them and bless them?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "Duh, yeah." And then she said something I'll never forget. I'll never forget this. She said, "You mean you're going to give me money to bless the missionaries that I'm praying for, however I see the need?" I said, "Yeah." And she looked at me and she said, "Why wouldn't anybody want to do that?" And I said, "I don't know. Why wouldn't anybody want to do that?" And so it was funny because it really is about relationship and building that relationship. And we want to equip this congregation to do that. And then ownership. And this is very similar, but these are also some things that you may not be aware of. These teams, they meet with missionaries all the time in their team meetings. And they talk to them about their progress and look at their videos and watch their pictures and pray with them and pray over them and see what's happening in their ministries. But you know what? I don't know of a church our size where the congregation decides who comes and stands. Well, it isn't a pulpit, but it's this cute table. Who comes and speaks? Do you know that that's not Christine and I that do that? The teams interview the missionaries and they tell us who they recommend to come and do the windows. Now, the reason that is because if it's working, they know them better than I know them. So why should I pick? Hello? Why not let them pick? And they do. The other thing they do is they interview potential new missionaries. And they meet with them and they decide, okay, strategically in Africa or in Europe or in the U.S., here's of these 30 that are wanting us to put them on support, here's the one or two that we want to bring on support. They submit those names to us. And then the church board and the missions council approve them. But that comes from the laity. That comes from the congregation actually doing that work and submitting it to us. Not from the grassroots up, not the top down. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big reason that sets us, a big thing that sets us apart.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. A little bit ago, I was talking with a young adult, and then later on I had a conversation with an older adult, and it was interesting because both of them were at a place where they're wanting to connect. They're wanting to get involved with the life of the church and what's happening. So people out here that are getting excited about missions and hearing about the teams that are taking place, what are the opportunities?
Well, in the pew in front of you there, you'll have a blue Beyond Borders card. Pull that out if you would, and send one to the right or to the left so everybody can look at one of these. This card represents 30 missionaries right now in our structure that we support already that right now do not have team members that are supporting them in the way I just described. And so we have opportunity. Here's 30 opportunities of places that you could be a part of the missions team and come in. And I wanted to detail some of those out for you so that you can see a little bit of it, and maybe the Holy Spirit would connect you to one of these. I mean, we're big on Teen Challenge here. We have two teen challenges that we support on a regular basis. Right now, we have no congregational representative that is doing what I described between us and the teen challenges. Campus ministries, inner city. I mean, Dream Center, can you believe that? Mm. I mean, the relationship we have with the Atlanta Dream Center is crazy good, but yet we don't have yet representation, a person that serves on our U.S. team who represents us and reads and blesses the Atlanta Dream Center. And then there's different things. You could help set up for prayer meetings. You could be a part. If you love missions and students that love social media and you want to be a part of that, you could do that. And then in the bottom of the one side of the card and all over the back of the other side of the card, we have actual different missionaries listed there and what they do, because you might connect with somebody that's doing children's ministries or the unreached or breast cancer awareness or even a pediatrician that does neonatal care. And you might say, I would like to represent them. However you'd want to do it. And you know what? At the bottom of the back, you see the white box and it says U.S. and local teams and foreign regional teams. You may just be lost and you may be the kind of person that's sitting here saying, too many words, I don't want to read that. Fine. Then just check one of those boxes, turn it in. Or if you say, well, I'm interested, but I don't want to even do that, put your name on there and somehow to get in touch with you and turn it in, I'll call you. We'll talk about it. All right? So I wanted to be as detailed as we can be, but yet make it as simple as we can for you to take advantage of these opportunities.
Great. Well, like Pastor Pat said, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to have missionary guests coming in and have the opportunity to hear their vision and support them in that. And then October 15th, I'll be sharing word from the Lord concerning our faith promises and where we're heading and how the Lord might be able to use all of us heading into this next year. But what I would like to do before we close up our time is for Pastor Pat to share just a word from the Lord for us. But then also, I'd like to ask anyone here who has ever been on one of the missions teams or you are currently on a missions team, would you please stand for a moment? Would you please do that? In the balcony, on the main floor. Thank you for praying for missionaries week after week after week, being there for them, sending them the finances that are needed in order for them to do ministry, and just being a support structure for these missionaries that often are just out there on their own. And as a church, we want to thank you. Can you join me in doing that? Let's just show our appreciation. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. You know, just talking with pastors, and I do all the time, and we're grateful for that, because if the Lord can use us not only as a mission structure to do what we do supporting missionaries, but you know what? If he can use this church to encourage another church to do more for missions, how awesome is that? How awesome is that? And I want to just say that there wouldn't be a pastor that I know ever to see the number of people stand that just stood first service in this service physically involved in missions at their church. So thank you. Appreciate it very much. And just one other thing about these cards before I move into a message here in the next 20 minutes here. If you'd like to fill that out, you can do that during the rest of this message here in the next 20 minutes. It's okay. I'll let you do that. Fill out a card while the guy's preaching. You know, when does that, how often does that happen? But you can fill it out. You can hand it to team members at all the doors when you leave, and you can turn it in. You know you, all right? Let me just say it this way. If you know that the Lord is speaking to you, don't put it off for 3 or 4 weeks. Take care of it today. On the other hand, there's a lot of information here, and you may say, you know what, I want to pray about this, I want to read that over. By all means, the cards are going to be in the pews for the remainder of Missions Month. You can bring it, take one home, fill it out, bring it, turn it in anytime this month, and we'd love to have you. All right, well, let's put this scripture back up again, and the time that remains, let me just talk about Isaiah 54. I believe this is a word from the Lord for us. You know, when it comes to challenging us to move beyond our borders, I'm not talking about mindlessly ignoring healthy boundaries or good time management or living beyond our means financially. I'm talking about the fact that every one of us can allow what we see in the natural as our boundaries or our limitations dictate what we can trust God to do in us and through us. Is that the truth? We can all look at what we see in the natural and say, oh, God's never going to be able to do anything beyond this. And we know through Scripture that that is not the case, because we are not just natural people. We are supernatural people. Amen? All through the Bible, you see, like, Abraham and Sarah had physical issues, but they became the father of nations. Moses had deficiencies that he saw as restrictions, yet God used him to turn the tide of 400 years of Hebrew slavery. He faced borders, the border of the Red Sea, for example, but God parted it. Joshua faced the border of the Jordan River at flood stage, but God shut off the water upstream. David came to the edge of his natural ability as he faced Goliath, but God gave him supernatural ability. God spoke to me on a plane at 30,000 feet and told me that I had limited our missions, the scope of our missions program. This was 6 years ago. He said, you've limited to what your finances can do. He said, but I told you a long time ago what the scope of your missions program should be when I said go into every nation. He says, you've underutilized the unlimited resource of intercessory prayer. And I thought, wow, that's true. all of a sudden what I saw is, this is our border, this is all we can do, was shattered. And I went beyond those borders and we began to see that prayer opens it up unlimited. And so we started the global prayer ministry and the global prayer time. And since it started about 6 years ago, you have invested over 6,000 hours of public intercessory prayer on behalf of our community and the nation. Amazing. Folks, there's a harvest that is coming, and God is wanting us to trust Him to take us beyond whatever we perceive as our borders. And here He tells us how He intends to do that. If you look at each of these phrases, first, to enlarge the place of your tent. Now, this isn't just the tent. This is the geography. This is the place of the tent. This is our footprint. This is our scope of influence. Well, how do we do that? Well, we do that by adding more missionaries that are going to go out and minister to people that we are not yet touching. We do that by determining that I'm going to be an influence to my neighbor, to my work associate. I'm going to be an influence on the campus, and I'm going to expand that scope of our influence. What if 1,000 people did that in our congregation? All of a sudden started speaking up for Jesus and showing the love of Jesus. Wow, you think our scope of influence would increase? You betcha, it would increase. And then secondly, it says, stretch the tent of your curtains wide. Now that's talking about our capacity. That's the tent. That's our resources. Stretch the tent curtains wide. That's time, talent, treasure. We are enabled to move beyond our current borders as our finances and team members increase. That's how we expand our capacity. Thirdly, and I love this, do not hold back. Do not hold back. If we're going to go beyond our borders, our attitude has to be a motivator. Our faith has to motivate us to blow past boundaries that are human and let God take us beyond. When I think about this, I can't get out of my mind the story of Jonathan and his armor bearer in 1 Samuel 14. Israel here is without weapons. There's a standoff between Saul's army and the Philistines. The Philistines are up on the ridge, and Saul's army is hiding in fear. And there's a stalemate, and nothing's happened. I mean, heaven was sleeping. I mean, they had sat there paralyzed for so long. I don't know if this is true, but I got to believe that even the angels were up in heaven like, why don't somebody do something? And they were just sitting there falling asleep because there was nothing to get behind, right? There was no faith in the land. And finally, Jonathan decides, hey, let's do something about this. Look what he says to his armor bearer. I'll put it on the screen here. He said to his young armor bearer, come, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised fellows. Look at this phrase. Perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. I love that attitude. I love that faith. And so what happened was, he left the camp, and his armor bearer left the camp and asked for a fleece before the Lord. Now, this is amazing. You know what he said? It wasn't like, well, let's see if it's wet. I'll put out this fleece and see if it's wet. No, no, no. No, it was much easier than that. What he said was, tell you what, we'll go down in the ravine, and if the Philistines see us and say, come up here, that's a sign from God. He wants us to do it. I mean, that's like me saying to you, hey, let's fill out this card and go to bed tonight. And if I wake up tomorrow and I find daytime, I know God wants us to be on a team. How's that for a fleece? Well, this is what he did. He said, so they go out in the middle of the ravine and they say, hi, how you doing, Philistines? And the Philistines said, come up here and we'll teach you a lesson. Surprise, surprise. And so they're like, yes! What? They just wanted to do it. Come on. And so up they go. they're climbing up. Now, I got to believe that even though the camp of Israel didn't know what was going on, heaven was watching. You believe with me? Heaven was watching, right? And so there's all these sleepy angels up there. And there, all of a sudden, there's Jonathan and his armor bearer. And it's like, George is like, hey, check it out. Who is that? And they look down there and say, well, I think that's Jonathan and his armor bearer. Where are they going? Well, I don't know. Where do you think they're going? Looks to me like they're going right over there to the base of that cliff there where the Philistines. Well, they are. Look at that. Hey, check it out. A couple more angels wake up. They all start paying attention, and they're watching him now. And they're right on there at the bottom of the cliff going, hey, Philistines! And the angels are starting to get excited. They're starting to say, wow, finally, somebody's like doing something. This is great. I mean, somebody's stepping out in faith. This is awesome. And so they start climbing up the hill. They start climbing up the cliff toward the Philistines. And then by this point, now, I don't know if this happened, but, you know, Jesus is on the throne in heaven, right? So let's say Jesus was sitting down. And they started climbing up toward the top of the hill, killing Philistines. There's a part of me that just believes that Jesus did this. Yes. And I think when he did that, the angels were like, yes! And so what happens, it says in our text, not our text, but the 1 Samuel text, it says that the ground began to shake. And that there was a panic sent by God, and that the enemy began to destroy each other. Now, I don't know how it happened. I'm going to guess here in a second. But I don't know how it happened, but I know the ground began to shake. And I know that it was a panic sent by God, and I know they had victory. That's what the text says. Now, I have a theory. I think what happened is these angels got so excited, Jesus stood and he said, go, that's great! And all the angels at once, I mean, you could see this in slow motion, million angels, right? Watching this whole thing take off. And up there, he's killing the Philistines. And all the angels like, and they all, slow motion, jump up in the air. Boom! And the ground begins to shake. And all of a sudden, the Philistines are like, what'd you do that for? I don't know. And then a panic came upon all the people. One thing I know, Jonathan and his armor bearer, they had a faith-filled attitude. Hey! We're the people of God. They're the enemy. God has an agenda. I care about his agenda. Let's do this thing. And perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. That I know. That I know. Amen. Finally, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. That speaks of support structure. You know, there's not a missionary alive that wouldn't say the most important support structure when it comes to the work of missions is prayer. Prayer is not preparation for the battle. Prayer is the battle. Folks, I have a vision to see our global prayer meetings increase. I mean, we have a little over 100, usually right around 100 people that come and pray every month. What would happen? What would happen if 250 people would come down in the fellowship hall and begin to pray for the nations and cry out for our communities and our neighborhoods? What would happen if prayer, that kind of prayer, would begin to go out on a monthly basis? Wow, I got a feeling that our borders would shift a little bit. What do you think? I think our borders would begin to expand. I think our capacity would change. I think our attitudes of faith would begin to be increased. And we would begin to see God doing in us and through us far beyond what we could ever imagine before. You know, I think about changing the border, moving the border, going beyond whatever our borders are, right? And I cannot escape a little story I told you about 11 years ago, and it bears repeating right now, and that is this. A story is told of a businessman who was flying over Europe, and he's on the descent on the airline, and I don't know, 2,000-3,000 feet in the air, something like that. And as he's coming down, he's looking outside the window, and he sees out down on the ground level, he can't really make a ton out, but it looks like borders everywhere, like square borders, oblong borders, just one border attached to another border, attached to another border, attached to another border. And he couldn't really make it. It just looked like grid work. And so the flight landed, and he was getting off the flight, and he goes by the stewardess, and he says to her, "Hey, I noticed this." And what is that? And she says to him, "Oh, this part of Europe, everybody borders there, puts a little wall up, a border wall up around their property line. And so what you're seeing is all the different people's property lines and the stone borders that they put up." And he thought, "Oh, okay, that's different." A few months passed to get the fall, and he takes the same flight path on another business trip, going the same place. He's up over, and he's kind of anticipating this. And so he gets about over the same place, about 3,000 feet or whatever, looks out, and notices they're gone. There's like, there isn't any to be seen. The borders appear to be all gone. And it was like he was really puzzled by this. And so, again, they landed, and he goes by, same stewardess. Goes by the stewardess and says to her, "Hey, you know, I was here before, and this is what I saw, and now the borders, they're all gone. There is no more border walls." And she kind of smiled, and she said, "Oh, no. They're not gone. They're still there. It's just this time of year is harvest, and the harvest has grown up so high that you can no longer see the borders." Dear Jesus, that's what we need. Holy Spirit is coming to us this morning, this opening of Missions Month 2017. I believe this is the 12th Missions Month sermon, something like that, the 11th at least. I don't think I've ever said it quite this way. I don't say it lightly. I believe that the Holy Spirit is speaking a prophetic word to this church. Heads up. Lift up your vision. See the harvest. Here it comes. Here it comes. It's coming. It's here. It's a huge harvest. Get ready. Make preparations. I want to take you beyond the borders. Whatever you see as borders, whatever you see as limiters in the human sense, I want to set you free with new faith to see that I, God, can do far beyond what you think are your borders. Will you trust me? The choice for us is this. We continue sometimes, as I do often, stand on ground level and look at that wall. See that border. Boy, it's real. Boy, those limitations are there. Or will I let the Holy Spirit lift me up a few thousand feet into the air and give me his perspective? Yeah, those limitations are still there, but they're no longer going to drive me. They're no longer going to limit me. They're no longer going to be that which I focus on, but instead I have a vision of the harvest that is there. You know, our God of grace is a God of second chances. Aren't you grateful? But you know what struck me the other day? There is no second chance for a ripe harvest to be harvested. Think about that. Harvest is here. Would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, first and foremost, I just want to make sure everybody in this room is in right relationship with you. Father, if there's anyone here, far be it from us to begin Missions Month and not give opportunity for somebody that is out of relationship with you to come into relationship. And so, Lord, we pray right now for those in this sound of my voice, in this auditorium, if they need you, maybe they find themselves today part of the mission field we're talking about. Someone who has yet to come over and defect from the powers of darkness that try to hold him in depression and hopelessness and lostness, took him into a living, growing, vibrant relationship with you. And they need to take that step today. I pray right now over this auditorium, if that's you, would you just, I want to pray with you, would you just slip up a hand? You want to turn your life over to Jesus today. You need to. You know you want to. Can I pray with you? All over in the balcony and on the main floor, is there anybody here today that would say, I want to do that today. I want to become a Christian, a Christ follower, a true Christ follower, build a relationship with him. Anybody in the auditorium? Okay, would you stand with me? Folks, I honestly do not know what your next steps with missions is. I don't know where you come up against your border, right? I mean, where we come up against our border is probably different than, probably unique. Everybody is. But here's what I'm going to ask. The altar time today is the next 3 weeks. And my prayer is that all of us as a congregation who God is speaking to about this would simply just say, you know what? Here's my altar commitment. I'm going to ask the Lord. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to show me where is my border. And how can I trust you, Lord, in that way to let you help me move past it so I can take the next step? Maybe that's filling out a card and turning it in. Maybe that's talking among yourselves and saying, you know what? This year, let's make a faith promise. Or this year, let's increase our faith promise, or whatever it is. Or maybe there's some here that would just say, you know what? I need to come to a prayer meeting and invest myself, unlike in the past, I want to invest myself in intercessory prayer for missions. I need to do that this year. Been wanting to do that. I want to do that this year. Whatever that is. Would you agree with me that we'll seek him? That we'll ask him as we hear missionary guests, as we hear our pastor speak a missions message, that we'll let him take us beyond the borders today, whatever that is. Would you agree with me about that? Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful, Lord, for this time that we have today and these next weeks that are planned. I'm grateful and I'm almost just overcome with excitement that what you want to do in our lives. But Lord, even beyond that, what you want to do in tens of millions of people's lives who are yet to find you. Lord, I'm excited for them. Lord, just like we saw Matt make that testimony today, Lord, may there be tens of thousands that find themselves discovering who you are in our neighborhoods and around the world. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. One thing I know before I let you go, and that's this. Heaven and earth await our response. God bless you. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to Christian Celebration Center podcast. We hope that you found this helpful. For more sermons, service times, or to start your next steps, visit our website at cccmidland.com.